Psalm 85 is the very thing that I'm going to preach on tonight in a different text. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. But it is the very thing I'm going to preach on. 1 John chapter 1. Let's read these 10 verses here. 1 John 1, verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." I was talking recently with a brother about sin. We were talking about sin, the sin that so easily besets us. We were talking about just how easy it is for this flesh to fall into it. It is so easy. It comes easily, and we fall into it easily. And we were talking about how sad and depressed it makes us and how much it brings us down. It just brings us down. You can be up one minute, and then sin creeps in. Whether it's sin of us, in us, or around us. Whether it's current sin that grieves us, or past sin that grieves us, or future sin that we know is right around the corner. We start dwelling on it, and it ruins the whole day, doesn't it? And the conclusion that we came to in our conversation is, we need Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Christ. We just need Christ so badly, so desperately. We need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be here. I need to be here. We need to gather with His people. We need to hear His word preached. We need to be reminded of His gospel. We need it. We need it so badly. It's the only thing that'll pull us back up. You get out into the world and it's just the slough of despond. It's the miry clay. And the more you go in it, the more it just You sink down into it. This is the only thing that will pull, reach way down and pull us up, pull us out. And we both acknowledged in this conversation that all of us, and I'm talking about God's people here. I'm for sure not talking about those who are lost in false religion. This is not the acknowledgement of self-righteous religion. Not at all. But among God's people, we both acknowledge that we all view each other as having a better handle on sin than we do. We look at each other and we think, I just don't see them sinning as much as I do. I don't see them having the thoughts that I have. I don't see them saying the things that I say. I don't see them doing the things that I do. The reason for that is because we don't see each other as much as we see ourselves. We don't spend time with each other like we spend time with ourselves. We spend more time with ourselves. And we don't see each other's secret moments like we see our own. We don't see each other's thoughts like we see our own. And am I the only one who's glad about that? If we did, we would see that we are all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. There's some people who are just more naturally reserved than others. You know, they may say less and sound wiser in doing so. And we think, oh, I just wish I could be more like that person. Well, if we could see into the mind, heart, and soul of that person, just like all the rest of us, we would see we are all in the same boat. Oh, I just wish I could be like you. Really, you don't. Really, you don't. All of mankind has been in the same boat since the beginning of time. In my conversation with this brother, we were complaining about the fact that it is so easy to feed sin today. It's so, so easy to feed sin. Because everything in this world, everything that this world has to feed it with, is at the fingertips of a cell phone. You used to have to struggle to find things and get your hands on things, and now you can feed sin with anything you want to feed it with. It's at the tap of a screen. It's so, isn't it? But then in our conversation, we realize that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. In the days of Noah, God looked down on the imaginations and the hearts of all men and women on the face of this earth. And God saw that every imagination and intent of the heart was only evil continually. That's what it was. Only evil continually. Only full of sin continually. Every man and woman on this earth has been dealing with this same struggle since time began. Every man and woman. Every age, every generation. And what that means is all of us need Jesus Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul needed Jesus Christ. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I just wish I could be like Paul. I just wish I could be like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul needed Jesus Christ. That's what he needed. You cannot cry, oh, wretched man that I am, without knowing something of your own sin. You can't do it. unless you don't mean it. And he meant it. You cannot cry, "I'm the chief. I am the chief," if you believe that other men and women are more sinful than you. You can't cry that. In self-righteous religion, men and women believe that others are more sinful than they are. But in the true calling of God's people, they believe that they are more sinful than all others. And the Apostle Paul is proof of that. Every child of God sees himself or herself as having the least handle on sin of all believers. The least control over their sin of all believers. And because we all feel that way, it means we're all in the same boat. Because we all think you are not as much of a sinner as I am. You're better than me. Because we all think that, it means we're all in the same boat. Elijah never died on this earth. This man, Elijah, he never died on this earth. God sent a whirlwind to pick him up and carry him straight into glory. And the Apostle James said, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a sinner just like me and you. He had doubts. He had fears. Unbelief, just like me and you. Every child of God ever recorded in the Scripture, every one of them, you start at Genesis and start going through these men and going through these stories, every child of God ever recorded in the Scripture, God exposed the fact that they were all sinners. All sinners. They were all great sinners. They did things. You know what I'm talking about. You read some of these stories and you're almost ashamed to read them out loud. They did things, even though God acknowledged that they were His people, saved believers. He said, David's a man after my own heart. But the saints of the Old Testament, recorded in the Old Testament, they did things that if men and women did those things today, which they do, things haven't changed. But when it happens, even sinful man looks at it and says, that can't be a child of God. That's not a child of God. No way. You can't do what David did and be a child of God. You can't do what Lot did and be a child of God. That's not just sin, that's wickedness, that's evil. Even so, every child of God, every soul that's had his eyes open to what he is by nature, looks at that, what's recorded in the Word about his brethren or her brethren, and says, I'm worse. I'm worse. When the Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief, he meant, I'm the chief. That's what he meant. I'm worse. I'm the chief. Worse than David. Worse than Lot. Worse than every other sinner that has ever existed. And I love what Charles Spurgeon said about that. He said, I take issue with the Apostle Paul. Don't you love this saying of his? I never get tired of saying this. He said, I take issue with the Apostle Paul, for he has stolen my seat. I would fain tap him on the shoulder and say, sir, go up higher. You've taken my seat. I'm the chief of sinners. You can't claim that. That's me. That's me. Well, our conversation ended. And about 2 hours later, this brother called me back and he said, I really appreciate the conversation we had earlier. And I said, I do too. He said, you know what it made me do? He said, it made me start praying for all of my brothers and sisters. Just thinking that they are going through the same thing I'm going through. Dealing with the same struggle I'm dealing with. He said it broke my heart for them. And I thought, what a good way to look at that. What a good way to look at that. The end of the story of Job says that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, when he thought on his friends. Sometimes we get so consumed with what we are going through, we never even think about all of our brethren and what they're going through. They're going through the same thing. I strongly believe, I do sincerely believe this, I've experienced it, and I strongly believe that if we would think on what our brethren are going through, all of their sorrows and all of their trials, and bring those things to the Lord and bear it with them, as the Scripture says, and bring their troubles to the Lord on their behalf, I believe the Lord would ease ours. I sincerely do believe that. We go through, I was talking again with this brother about the depression, the sadness. If you ever find yourself in a depression, the fastest way to get out of a depression is to start thanking the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for all of His goodness and all of His mercy and all of His kindness and everything He's done for you in the blood of His Son. And that depression will go away. And let's bring our brethren to the Lord and all of their troubles and think on others. Let this mind be in us as it was in Christ. Think on each other. I believe that if we'll focus on ourselves last, we won't even end up focusing on ourselves. But I tell you all of this for this reason, okay? Here we go. Our sorrow over sin is real. It is real. And it's something that every single one of us deal with. If anybody here does not really sorrow over their sin, I would strongly encourage us to ask God to reveal our sin to us. If He does, we will sorrow over it. We will absolutely sorrow over it. But sorrow over sin is something that all of God's people have to deal with. It is so real. Verse 8 right here in 1 John 1 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. All of us deal with this. It's true for all of us. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And these last three words are what brought me here after this conversation. From all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. All of it. All of it. The end of verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. No matter how deep, no matter how vile, no matter how wretched, all sin. All sin. We read a moment ago in our scripture reading, our brother just read Psalm 85 for us. Verse 2 said, Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. What an amazing verse this is, really. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, thou hast covered all their sin. All of it. All of it. Just hearing that, doesn't it make you feel clean? This is something else we talked about. You get out into this world and you're just picking up just filth and vileness. And it's not that filth is what's out there. Filth is what's in here. But it's just so, you know what I mean. Coming to worship and gathering with God's saints and hearing the gospel preached, this is not what makes us clean. The blood of Christ made us clean. We were washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But coming in and gathering with the saints and hearing this word preached and being reminded of the gospel one more time, it's like it just washes off everything we've been picking up all day and all week. It's just refreshing. Just the thought of being washed in the blood of the Lamb. From growing up as a kid, and even now, I have thought this my whole life, and I even think this now. I've always thought if I was covered in blood, I wouldn't consider myself to be clean. If I was covered head to toe in blood, completely covered in blood, I wouldn't consider myself to be clean. And I sure wouldn't consider myself to be white as snow. It's amazing that that's what the scripture says. You know, you wash me thoroughly, purge me, cleanse me, cover me in your blood, I'll be white as snow. Why does the scripture say it that way? It's because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is so pure. It is so spotless. It's so holy. It's so righteous. It's so good. It's so perfect. It's so beautiful. In God's eyes, it's white as snow. It is white as snow. Just hearing that, just hearing being washed in the blood, that just cleanses us. Just cleanses us. Hearing that where our sin has abounded, His grace and His mercy through the covering of His blood has infinitely more abounded. It brings a cleansing to us again. Thank God. The end of verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth. It did cleanse. It still cleanses. It will cleanse us from all sin. Listen to this man, Brother Alford's story one more time. I've read this to you quite a few times, but this man was a member of Charles Spurgeon's congregation. And he told this story, and Spurgeon made him tell it over and over again. He said, there was a poor man living on Dartmoor who had been employed during the summer in looking after horses and cows and so on that were turned out on the moor. He was a perfect heathen and never went to a place of worship, perhaps since he was a child. For him, there was no Sabbath. After a time, he grew very ill. He was over 60 years of age, and having nothing to live upon, he went into the workhouse. While he was there, it pleased the mysterious spirit to make him uneasy as to his soul. He felt that he must die. He knew it was coming. And the old man had just enough light to let him see that if he did die, all was wrong with regard to a future state. He had a little grandchild who lived in a neighboring town, Plymouth, I think it was. And he asked leave for his grandchild to come in every day to see him. As he was very ill and near death, that was allowed. She came in and he said to her, "Read the Bible to me, dear." She complied, and the more she read, the more wretched the old man grew. "Read again," said he. The more she read, the more dark his mind seemed to be with a sense of guilt. Just guilt, guilt, guilt. You know anything about that? You know anything about guilt? Guilt. Oh, guilt. Guilt. That's just an awful, awful feeling. Guilt. At last, one day, she came to that passage in the first epistle of John. You know it. "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." "Is that there?" he asked. "Yes, Grandfather," replied the little girl. "That is there." "Is that there?" "Oh, yes, Grandfather, it is there." "Then read it again. Read it again." She again read, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." "My dear, are you sure it is just like that?" "Yes, Grandfather." "Then read it again, dear." "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." "Then," he said, "take my finger and put it on that verse." "Is it on that text, child? Is my finger on that blessed text?" "Yes, Grandfather." "Then," said he, "tell them," alluding to his friends, "that I die in the faith of that." And he closed his eyes and doubtless entered into eternal rest. "And I will die in the faith of that truth by the grace of God, and so will you, I trust, brethren and sisters, die with your finger on that text. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Thank God. Can we not sincerely say that? Thank God. Thank God. Are you down and discouraged over your sin? If so, just listen to that again. Just listen to that again. It'll pick you right up. That will pick you right up. "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That is amazing grace to me. All sin. Thank God. Amen. All right, let's all stand together.